KAXC News, I'm Chelsea Perkins. This episode of the Up North Report features an unedited rebroadcast of some conversations that I had in late June with candidates running for the Itasca County Board of Commissioners. We partnered with ICTV to bring you these conversations. If you would rather watch them, be sure to tune in to ICTV. Now on with the interviews.
Welcome. I'm Chelsea Perkins, News Director of KAXE. We've partnered with ICTV to interview local candidates for the 2026 election. Today, we're speaking with those running for the District 1 seat on the Itasca County Board of Commissioners. District 1 is in northwestern Itasca County, including the cities of Deer River and Cohasset, and part of the Leech Lake Band of Ojibwe Reservation. Joining me today is Lonnie Witkowski. Thanks for joining us today, Lonnie.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So let's just have you briefly introduce yourself and tell us why you're running for county commissioner.
Thank you. Lonnie Witkowski, 64-year resident, Itasca County, 35-year resident, District 1, the office that I'm running for. And my main goal is to replace industry jobs that we've that we're lacking, industry and jobs that are out there, logging jobs that are out there, things that have just in my whole life, my entire life, they've been here in the last 10, 15 years, they've disappeared, and I think I can bring them back. I think the effort needs to be put in there to go out and get them and not wait for them to come here. So if I get in office, that's going to be a big focus of mine. It's taxes, property taxes. For 2 years, I've heard grumblings about property taxes, and mine personally went up 23% last year, and I've heard of many retired people that are really struggling with the property tax increases, and in many cases having to leave their homes. I lost my father a year ago. My mother, at that point, they were living on two Social Security checks, lost one Social Security check, same home, same property, tax increases, and she had to leave. There's got to be a safeguard on that, and I think people know that, but I don't know. I've been told there's nothing you can do about it, and I think there is nothing you can do about it if you do nothing about it. So I want to be there to be in there, and that's where I have to be to make any changes. That's why I'm running. I want to get in there, and I want to make changes.
Okay. It sounds like for you, maybe the biggest issue the county is facing would be property taxes, but do you have any other issues that you wanted to point to as big issues that Itasca County is facing? And how would you address it if you were elected?
Just the industrial jobs. I wanted, we're a county that 4 years ago were probably a month from having a OSB plant here started to be built, and we let too many things get in their way, and I actually tried to make that known, that this company was here, they wanted to build it here, and they were really stumbling through it. There were too many people opposing it, and people needed to speak up and help them, and it didn't happen. So I want to go out and find another company that will do that and bring them here and hold their hand and walk them through it and make it happen. We got a natural resource out here that we're not taking advantage of. We got loggers that are more than capable of handling the load of, they need it. So I want to help them get that done.
How do you think in your role as county commissioner, you specifically could help bring an industry like that to Itasca County?
I'm a worker, and I'm gonna go get it. I'm gonna go find people. We're waiting for people to come here. And I'm gonna ask people to come here. We've got a bunch of tariffs in surrounding countries that I would think want to come here to get away from that tariff scenario. To me, it's that easy, I think. Start digging and go after it instead of sitting here and waiting for it to happen.
If you were elected, what would be your top spending priorities and saving priorities in the county budget?
Spending. So not to beat this subject up, but I'm going to beat it up because it means a lot to me. But if I'm going to spend, I want it to pay me back. And I wouldn't be against spending to help a board plant, a siding plant, some kind of plant that'll help our logging community out and get that rolling. And when I say spend there, it doesn't necessarily mean cash. I think we have land that we could help them with. We have timber we can help them with. There's things that we can help be attractive to bring that market here. And I wouldn't be against that kind of spending. Savings? Savings are cuts, for the most part, in my mind. And I'm not really prepared to talk about that. And just for the simple reason, you have to look at savings, in my opinion. Those cuts sometimes turn into cost. And there's some scenarios that where the county has cut positions and hired those positions out, contracted them out, that probably cost more than double. I can tell you for a fact, did cost double than employing the one county person to do it. So the cuts have to be looked at and thought put into it.
So the role of county commissioner is a nonpartisan office. What does that mean to you?
I'm 100% nonpartisan. As much as people have always wanted me to pick a party, I don't pick a party. I am very nonpartisan. I look at the person that will do the best in the position, and that's how I've always voted. So in the primary, I've always thought that's, I shouldn't probably bring this up right now, but I really strongly believe in the primary, if you pick a Republican, it's Republican straight across the board. If you put a Democrat, mix the two together, your ballot's thrown out. I think that's wrong. I think you should be able to pick the best person for each party to do the job the best. That's my belief. That's not the way it works. Maybe I'll change that.
Who knows, Lonnie? You might be starting a movement right now.
So.
I wanted to talk about a specific issue that has been coming up in Itasca County as of late. The Grand Rapids Area Library reduced its hours and staffing this year due to budget issues. How would you seek to address funding for the library as a regional resource?
I'm probably not going to be very popular on this. So I was a large part in construction on the library. I have a lot of time building it. Did all the decorative sidewalks around it. I've done the playground attached to it, all that work after the building was up benches. Got my passport there, been in there. It's a quiet place, seen a lot of people doing studying there, looking at books there. Everything I did work-wise there was the city of Grand Rapids. And so I'm not, I understand the county being involved in it. I know the county spends $392,000. I think I'm close on that. $392,000 on libraries. I don't believe it's that library by itself. But they do, that's a lot of money, in my opinion. I think Grand Rapids build it. I think the county helps. That's $392,000. I don't know how much goes to that. I have to know before I really say yes more. But taxes are a big thing. So I think if Grand Rapids builds a monster like that, it's they should have planned on affording it better. That's my belief right now, not having any research on it at all. So
would you consider, and based on your research, if you were to see that residents from outside of Grand Rapids, which, you know, it's shown that people from around Itasca County do use the Grand Rapids Library. I mean, is there a point at which you could see Itasca County contributing a higher amount?
I'm open to, yeah. I haven't looked into this at all. This is, right? This is a brand new question to me.
Okay.
So, I would be open to looking at it. When I say I've been around it a lot, I haven't seen an overwhelming amount of vehicles. I haven't seen the parking lot full. So, and I would really probably look into fundraisers, things like that, before I go out and raise people's taxes to pay for it.
All right. I'm going to ask you about a different topic that's also been in the news a lot lately. Data centers are increasingly coming before local governments in our region. Do you support data centers coming to Itasca County, and under what conditions?
So I've looked into data centers just because of Hermantown's data center that is big deal right now, and watched it a little bit this morning on the local news. The only big issue that I can pick out of it is electricity, power plants. They need their own power plant. We've lived around, or I shouldn't say we, myself, have lived around a power plant in Cohasset here all my life. And all that power plant has ever been to me is a good place to work. A good family income for all those folks that drive through that gate every day. And that's my push as commissioner, is to bring those jobs to this community. So, yes, our power plant's threatened in Cohasset to be done in a certain amount of years. That might be a great replacement for it. So I'm for data centers right now. Yes, we need the jobs.
What county infrastructure are you most concerned about maintaining or improving over the next several years?
County infrastructure. infrastructure being buildings, roads.
Yes.
The whole deal.
The whole deal.
So 40 years of construction. I've worked in industrial plants, mines, board plants, power plants. And it seemed like every manager toyed with maintenance, preventive maintenance, or skipped the preventive maintenance and only deal with the breakdown when the breakdown comes. I think it's been proven in my 40 years that preventative maintenance is cheaper than fixing it when it's broke. So I don't know that I just look at one building or one road, or I think the preventative maintenance is where the focus is. Don't let it totally be destroyed before we fix it, or let it be that great big project. Stay in front of it.
All right. Going to shift a little bit more here for a more, maybe more personal question. Name a public leader that you admire and explain why.
Okay. That's a hard one. You know, I'm going to go out. Public leader. I'm going to pick our local sheriff, Joe Dasovich. And I knew Joe before he was the sheriff, when he was a police chief in Nashwauk. I did some projects for him. Very, very personable, down-to-earth, stand-up citizen in the community. Believes in the community, helps the community. And he's just, he doesn't change. He's somebody that you can walk up to and you're going to get the same person. No matter what position he's in, what mood he's in, he just, I think he's a very solid character. And you know he's got the community in his best interest.
All right, Lonnie, one more question for you and then we'll call it a day. Why should people vote for you?
Because I'm going to get things done. I'm a worker and my campaign, I'm going to push to look at the resumes, compare, see what people will do, what they have done before you vote. I think there's too many people that just vote for the nice guy. Look and figure out who will get something done for you, and that's me. A man of my word, and I start a project, I'm going to finish the project. And the people that know me will, every one of them will back that up. I stay focused. I have a good self-drive, and I like to succeed. So if you want more jobs, better jobs in our logging community back, and our property taxes a chance to get them down or at least froze some way for senior citizens, that's me. That's as good as I can say it.
Well, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Joining me is Chris Reed. Thanks for joining me today, Chris.
Well, thanks for having me.
Let's just start off with having you briefly introduce yourself and tell us why you are running for county commissioner.
Well, my name's Chris Reed. I'm from Deer River. I'm born and raised in the county. I care about this area, raising my family here. And I want to serve on the county board. I want to see the county become a place that will be a better place for my kids to stay and raise here. And right now, taxes are an issue that are a concern to many, myself included. We need to get businesses to come in order to help out that tax base. And so I just thought it was time to step up and run and see if I can make a difference.
Okay. So in your opinion, what is the biggest issue that Itasca County is facing, and how would you address it if you were elected?
Well, I think it starts with the taxes. Lack of businesses is certainly an issue, but I think that goes hand in hand with the high tax base. And to address that, I mean, we have to look at the size of government. We have to look at where cuts can be made. But we also need to then encourage more investment in from the business sector. I think one of the first places that we can start as county commissioners that we have instant leverage over with the budget is our own salaries. And so I would propose cutting by $15,000 the salary of a county commissioner, but also taking the health care, the taxpayer health care from the elected officials, which could save close to $250,000 per year. So, I mean, we can start there, and then we just have to look budget by budget what can be done. But I think we need to start with ourselves.
When it comes to economic development, you mentioned, you know, bringing businesses into the community. What role do you see a county commissioner playing in improving that?
Well, we have to set up an environment where businesses are going to feel welcome to invest and to grow into their futures. We can look at different ways to eliminate some of the taxes on the upfront TIF districts. And there's some various ways to encourage businesses to come in with the county investing, not actually putting money into it, but deferring some of the tax payments until down the road when the businesses get up and running. That's one of the biggest ways that I think we can encourage businesses to come in. But we have to have an environment where they're comfortable working in. And with high taxes, that's tough to encourage any business.
As a county commissioner, what would be your top spending priorities and your top savings priorities in the county budget?
You know, as far as spending, I don't have a pet project that I think has to really go forward. And I mean, there's not a whole lot that we can do in the health and human services side of it because healthcare is kind of dictated by its own entity. The county really is in most of the healthcare situations. It's money that comes in, money that goes back out. But we need to make sure that healthcare safety net is still there. I'd love to see us build our county nursing home back up to where it was before. About a decade ago, the county nursing home was subsidizing the county's levy out of its revenues. Now it's in a situation where it's losing money and the county is doing just the opposite. But I think we need to look at that market and what we can do. That's one of the few funds that can actually generate revenue for the county. And I think we should explore that as much as possible.
And in terms of savings?
Well, in terms of savings, like I said, you can start with the wages of the elected officials, but we need to look at budgets. I'm not one who thinks a 10% cut across the board is going to work, because quite often that doesn't work. But as far as savings, we need to look at the delivery of our services and where we can maximize the employees that we have and reduce costs drastically. And we'd find a lot of ways that we could save that way.
Is there one specific thing that comes to mind that you think could be a good opportunity to cut?
Well, besides starting with commissioners, the wages there, You know, I would have to dig deeper into and figure out just why the budgets are exactly where they're at. I don't want to naively say I've got the answer there, so I'm not going to.
All right. The role of county commissioner is a nonpartisan office. What does that mean to you?
Well, it means you have to be available to anyone and everyone. You know, there's so many offices where we can wear our red hats and our blue hats, but this is one where we're just here for the community. We're here for the local. So being nonpartisan just means that willingness to see all view sides, all parts, and come to the best decision that you can with that information.
So I'm going to move to a specific issue that has been in people's minds. The Grand Rapids Area Library reduced its hours and staffing this year due to budget issues. How would you address funding for the library as a regional resource if you were elected?
Well, I think it's important to keep our little libraries, and I think they run in the same problems as little newspapers, and with more digital, less print. Need to look at just what the resources are that are available for it and what opportunities could be there to expand. You know, I'm all for doing more, but we have to find a way to budget it that hopefully isn't on the taxpayer expense. So it's the revenue sources that can, endowments that can be made to help with the library. Those are options we should look into. But it's sad to see, as a kid, I went to the library and it was always open. And to think now that you have to look at when the hours are in order to go, it's just, it is sad. It's an important issue, but I don't have the exact answer for it right now either.
Another issue that has been in the news a lot lately, data centers are increasingly coming before local governments in our region. Do you support data centers coming to Itasca County? And if so, under what conditions?
The need for them is certainly real. Would I support them coming into the county? I guess it would depend on the environmental protections on it, what it would do to our waters, what it would do. There's a lot of water usage with the cooling of them. It's certainly a controversial issue right now. And I also don't believe so many municipalities are jumping straight to just banning them. Well, if they're banned everywhere, where are they going to be? So we just have to look at that environmental issue. And so I'm not opposed to them. If they're done right, they're necessary in today's world.
Okay. Specifically, when it comes to county infrastructure, what county infrastructure are you most concerned about maintaining or improving over the next several years?
Well, we certainly have to take care of the new government center that we just built. I mean, it'd be a shame to see that get run down, but we've got county garages throughout the county that require a lot of maintenance, and we need to make sure that those are up to base. But now that also comes with a cost, and part of that cost then is, I think we also should look at, though it's not necessarily infrastructure, but county land holdings, and whether we could sell some of those, get them onto the tax rolls, and be able to afford the upkeep on what we do have with this little, but without touching the levy as little as possible.
You mentioned water resources, you mentioned land resources. How would you describe your general philosophy when it comes to acting as a county commissioner in those areas? That's a huge part of county government.
It is, and for 7 years now, I've been on the County Soil and Water Board, and so it's an interest that I take to heart quite a bit. I mean, we live in a beautiful county, and we're lucky to have so many lakes here and the land that we do. My biggest concern or wonder is how much of that land should be public land, how much should be private. There's an argument to have public land because it's open and accessible to everyone, but it's also at a cost. And you know, when you look at taxes, you've got that pie chart. Every piece of land that goes into the public rolls just makes everyone's piece of that pie get bigger. And so I think we need to be great stewards for the resources that we have environmentally, but I also think we should have as little of a handprint on it as possible.
Okay. Moving on to another issue that has been in the news. What are your views on the County Sheriff's Department working with Immigration and Customs Enforcement?
I believe all law enforcement should work together on any level. If we don't like the laws that are on the books, we have lawmakers who we can ask to change them. But I think it's an absolute injustice when one law agency and another won't work together with each other. And so I think our sheriff should be working with the federal law agencies.
Some people would argue that there are no state laws that concern immigration, that is a federal issue only, and therefore sheriff's offices don't have specific authority to help with those laws. I mean, how do you feel about that argument?
Law enforcement, they work that way in many situations. I mean, when you look at jurisdiction between cities and counties, state and federal, you have a murder that happens. These different agencies have to work together to solve it. And it's no different immigration. I mean, there may not be specific authority for the sheriff, but that is a federal law in the books. We are part of the United States of America. We should be helping each other out. And you don't have to like, again, what they're doing or the law that they're enforcing, but while it's on the book, it's on the book.
You mentioned earlier about Itasca County being a place where you'd like to be able to comfortably raise your family. Areas of rural Minnesota are facing housing issues. They're facing childcare issues. What specifically would you do as a county commissioner to make Itasca County an inviting place for people to raise their families?
Again, it comes back to the taxes. And I mean, it sounds like a broken record there, but when people can't afford to live here for the basic necessities, they're going to find somewhere cheaper to go. And so if our tax base can be decreased and then we get more businesses to come in, it becomes more inviting. It becomes more affordable for people to live here. It is. Childcare is very expensive. My wife and I, with our children, did daycare, and at one point even chose it was cheaper for one of us to stay home than to pay that cost. And many do struggle with that, but a lot of that comes down to the opportunities that are there. We have a shortage in childcare in Itasca County, and a lot of that has to do with state laws and how they can operate. But with more business and more economic development, the everyday costs will come down for everyone.
Okay. This is maybe, this is more like a personal question, but name a public leader that you admire and explain why.
You know, that's a tough one when you think about, because as soon as you start to admire people out there, they let you down. And in today's world, I don't know that many of our politicians are that admirable. It seems that so many are in for personal reasons. And you know, I tend to look back more at older examples. And so Ronald Reagan's one that I've always admired. And just the idea of we can do more with less government is something that I've always believed in.
Okay. Why should people vote for you, for county commissioner?
We need a change in Itasca County. You know, many of the issues, the taxes and the economic side of it, those are issues that have been here for years. We need to look at trying to do things different, and I humbly ask for the voters' support. But I'll just say I don't think we're going to get anywhere different electing the same people to run the same offices.
And if you were to identify the main differences you know, to summarize our discussion, the main differences that you would seek to vote for if you were on that board, what would they be?
Anything that we can do to lower the size and the scope of the county government without affecting services greatly needs to be looked at. But we need to get the costs of our local government down in order to be able to not bankrupt people out of their homes. And so the biggest thing that I want to push for is lowering the size of our county government.
We have another neighboring government. The District 1 also includes part of the Leech Lake Band of Ojibwe Reservation. In your opinion, or how would you work with tribal leaders, for instance, if you were elected to this role on issues that affect both?
Well, I think the more that you can collaborate with one another, the better that we are. There's been times when the native government and the local government haven't always gotten along and worked well together, but there's been times and on many issues, especially in healthcare and in education and areas where they have actually worked together great. I would, with the Soil and Water Board, we work with the tribe often with the wild rice and with the waters. And with the resources that we have in our area, there are so many opportunities for the two of us to be partners together.
You have experience on the Soil and Water Board. Can you just explain a little bit for folks like what the Soil and Water Board does and how that may help you if you were to become county commissioner?
Sure. Well, the Soil and Water Board was set up during the Dust Bowl era, but each state was given to try and manage their soil and water resources. And so for us, it's primarily in Itasca County, it's education on invasive aquatic species and invasive plants and lakeshore restorations for homes and for and so what we do in the Soil and Water Board is work with the taxpayer, the homeowner, and we have many funding opportunities where we can help with up to 75% of the cost to do what, and we teach the best environmental practices for that home or the forest or and most of it is to educate people in those best practices, but then also to help them achieve it through grants and loans, where that experience will come nice for county government is in the county government deals with this same issue so often is with us, we're the bad guys, we're the government coming, tell me what you're doing wrong, but you find that so often those partnerships between the government and the taxpayer can be very positive, and I think a lot of that can be brought over to the county board where we're not against each other. We should be on the same team.
So I've asked you a lot of questions. I'm curious if there's anything you think I have missed that you want to share with people watching.
Not necessarily. I just think we're in a time where change is necessary, in a time when our future can be look a lot better if we invest in it. And so that's why I'm running, and I'd appreciate support.
Well, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Joining me is Corey Smith. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So just to start off with, if you could just briefly introduce yourself and tell us why you're running again for county commissioner.
Yeah, my name is Corey Smith. I have a business up in Squaw Lake, Minnesota. Me and my wife run Lano's Riverside Pub. So I'm very active in the community up there. I'm also on the fire department and Ducks Unlimited, Snowmobile Club. So, you know, I get pretty involved with everything. I'm very community minded. You know, I used to work for the county. That's why I ran the first time. I saw some shortcomings there. I thought that it was a good direction for me to go to still help out the community. And, you know, the biggest reason I'm running again is we have some unfinished business. There was a lot of goals that you know, I was lucky enough. I came in with three new commissioners, and we set pretty lofty goals for ourselves. And, you know, we have worked through quite a few of them, some good, some bad. You know, I'm ready for the challenge. I enjoy the challenge. You know, taxes is a huge thing on everybody's mind, not only in this county, but as you talk to other commissioners throughout the other 87 counties, you know, it's on everybody's mind. So, there are some big hurdles there, and I'm prepared to take them on. And ready to take them on. So, you know, that's one of the biggest reasons I'm running, and still to help out my community. So, yes.
So of those unfinished business pieces that you've mentioned, what do you think is the biggest issue the county is facing, and how would you address it if you get reelected?
Yeah, taxes are probably on the forefront of everybody's mind. And I can tell you it is without a doubt on my mind, too. I'm your neighbor. I'm your relative. I got to pay taxes, too, and especially on the business side. So I totally get it. I understand where seniors are coming in you know, they are having trouble affording to stay in their home. And that's sad. You know, last year alone, we cut over just shy of $10 million out of our budget. You know, with that, the other thing that's an uphill climb is the unfunded mandated services from the state. That's a very large number in anybody's county budget. You talk to, you know, other officials, and this pass down is very hard to swallow. You have to provide the service plus pay for it on top with no money coming in. And then when your county program aid is cut, it just begins to be a lot. So we're very lucky in this county to have as many represented people at St. Paul. We work with them on our priorities. Taxes are a very, very large priority for us. You know, it's exciting to know that they're, you know, with Governor Walz not running again, it is to see a new regime, whoever that is that will come in, because it's a statewide problem. I mean, it's just not Itasca County. It's just we got to look at how we do property tax, how we have these services that used to be funded and now they're unfunded. What we can do to work with the state to come up with a better plan that keeps everybody above water. You know, we have an aging demographic in this county. Sure, the state has got some programs out there for 65 and older to help with their taxes, but that's not the fix. I mean, we have to look at, you know, what brings me, you know, real heartbreak is you take some people that maybe it's third generation, they've been in these family farms or houses and they're up against the wall on, do I buy groceries? Do I buy gas or do I pay my taxes? And that's just got to end in this state, not only in this county, but in the state. So
what would be your top spending priorities and your top saving priorities in the county budget?
Yeah, savings, like I said, we did a lot of cutting last year. So I'll start with that. We are very frugal. I mean, it may not seem like that at some point in time, but we're extremely frugal with the dollars that we have. For example, you know, we're looking at, we set a priority this year as a board to hang around a 93% employment, you know, top. We're well below that. We're just about 90% right now, which is a huge savings for us, for the county.
And that's in terms of filled positions?
Filled positions, yeah. I should have probably explain that a little bit more. So, you know, with that, that's a money savings deal. It's wages, it's benefits, it's all of that. But on the same hand with that is that then you do lack some services get not cut, but it might take a little bit longer. But, you know, I think if as long as people keep patient with that, it's not a perfect plan. We have looked at restructuring some of our departments. I'm going to continue to look at that to see what savings can be done there. Then when it comes to the spending side of it, you know, our roads and bridges, you know, are a big thing for our county. You know, our sheriff's budget has crept up there a little bit, but public safety is you know, should be on a lot of people's minds. I think Joe has, in talking with him, has come up with a little better angle on his budget this year, which is great news, and not so much taking away from services out on the road or anything like that. Still protecting the public, which is his job, and the roads are a big thing. You know, you get up in my district, we have a lot of low ground up there, so I mean, our roads need a little extra. We are normally, on average, about $3 to $4 million short every year for road projects or just road maintenance in general. So, and then with County A getting cut, that doesn't help either. So it is, it's just kind of a tumbling effect with all of the stuff that comes down from the state and then the lack of funding that we're normally used to having. So we just have to do, you know, more prioritizing. So,
okay. Yeah. I'm going to switch to a couple specific issues that have been in the news recently. Mm-hmm. The Grand Rapids Area Library reduced its hours and its staffing this year due to budget issues. What is your position on addressing funding for the library as a regional resource?
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of libraries too, but I mean, Rapids Library does get used a lot, no doubt about that. You know, the county, we are, by statute, have to give X. We always do give more. I believe we give about $20,000 more. And we came up with a working group. I don't sit on that working group currently. I believe it's Larry Hopkins and John Johnson, and they're working with the city. And part of it was wages. Wages were very, very high, and we just weren't able to come up with it, you know. I think they're working on some ideas, and I think an overall look at how public libraries are funded needs to take place. You know, our neighboring counties, same situation. Beltrami County cut way back. I couldn't give you them numbers exactly, but it's a problem across the state and not just in the northern region here. So, I mean, it is something that will most likely be on Grand Rapids City wish list if they have one. And I know that there's a couple of us commissioners that have it on our legislative wish list to look at how we can get some extra funding.
So, okay.
Yeah.
Data centers, another thing that's been in the news a lot. They're increasingly coming before local governments in our region. Do you support data centers coming to Itasca County, and under what conditions?
Very good point, and under what conditions. We had coffee with commissioners out in Goodland last night, and it was a very big topic. I look at it as getting all the facts. You know, I have on the 30th, I have a Zoom call, which the whole board is invited to give fact. I believe they're calling it fact and fiction about data centers. There are some preconceived notions out there that they're going to drain your well and they're going to do all this. And they have, because of criticism of that, they have retooled how they do a cooling system for their deal. They have a recirculator. They reuse water. They're going to burn off steam. So there is going to be some you know, residual water going back in, but they're not just using it once and dumping it now. So, which is good. you know, and I flat out, I know enough to be dangerous about them, but I'm looking forward to this Zoom call and getting to know more about it. I know one of my priorities is I would never let it near a city. I mean, we have vacant mines. We have a lot of places where if the board, if the citizens thought it was a good idea to bring one in, we have very rural places that no one's going to build around. You know, the one thing that is true, I mean, they are noisy. I mean, it sounds like a jet engine. So you don't want that a mile outside of town or a mile down the road from your house. So me as a commissioner, I would never allow that. And then the other key component to it is in working with our partners and talking about the potential, because the ask is going to come sooner or later. I'm quite sure of that. Has it happened yet? No. But when that happens, is what's the benefit to the people of Itasca County? I mean, that is a question that I'm going to ask a lot. I mean, what benefit? I mean, I'm not going to throw away the way we live and things of that nature if it's going to be this big, you know, well-sucking, noisy thing that you know, sits a mile out of town. I just won't go for that. That's just not what I would be interested as a county commissioner to support. But having all the facts is key, too.
Okay. Yeah. So, what county infrastructure are you most concerned about maintaining or improving over the next several years?
We have a lot, and this is what the public sees a lot of, is that you see how much your roads get plowed and how much gravel is on them, the potholes, all of that. You know, working with our transportation department, which I did work in for a couple of years when I worked at the county, is kind of my expertise when it comes to, the commissioner end of it. I have a lot of experience in that. I also was in the operators union for 20 plus years and understanding, you know, how roads and bridges work and especially in the climate we're in. And the dollars that we're short on every year is something that I want to work with the transportation department on, you know, getting somehow figuring out how we can kind of get ahead of that game, ahead of that roller coaster of ups and downs. And, you know, we have a 5-year plan all the time, which, you know, I've been heavily involved with the transportation department and I continue to be involved with that and will so into the future too. So.
All right. One more specific issue question that I'm going to toss your way. What are your views on the County Sheriff's Department working with Immigration and Customs Enforcement?
You know, fair question, hot topic, no doubt about it. Joe Rana being a constitutional sheriff, and, as an elected official, there's not a lot that I can say or do or tell him what to do. I mean, that's just the unique position of our elected officials. Do I support Joe in working? It's not that he goes out of his way to work with them, but if they brought a detainee in, would he hold them for him? Of course he's gonna. And I would support that. I don't think that anybody in this county is going out and wrangling up people and looking for it. Last time I talked to Joe, I just flat out don't believe we have had many in. So, you know, but yeah, it is a hot button topic that, you know, quite frankly, I think Joe is doing a great job with it. So.
All right. The Leech Lake Band of Ojibwe Reservation shares territory with District 1. In what ways should the county work with tribal government, especially on shared matters?
Yeah. I have some shared interest in that with my personal business, too. I work with the tribe on other things. The tribe is part of my community. Leech Lake Band has been a great partner. We signed an MOU last year. something that hasn't been signed for quite some time with Leech Lake Tribe. And the work that we have, have gone in together on pedestrian bridge right up in Squaw Lake itself. They have got a lot of funding for it for us. We have worked together on that. Avenue of Pines, which is just recognizing Highway 46 from Deer River to Northome. They have been big partners and big supporters of that, which is a very unique project that I got in on about midway. And now it's kind of, it's winding down. We got all the signage that's supposed to be going up. But they're part of our community, and it is very important to have strong ties for many reasons. We helped them do a break-in ceremony for them over at one of their new outreach clinics that is going up in Ball Club, which is going to be an awesome spot for them. And excited to work with them in the future and continue to work. Leonard Fine and I used to work quite a bit together, had a lot of good conversations. He has moved on to bigger and greater things, but which is great for him. But no, I enjoy our relationship that we have with Leech Lake Tribe.
So. All right, two more questions for you, and then we'll sure. get you out of here.
Sure.
Name a public leader that you admire and explain why.
You know, I had that question has popped up on a few different things. You know, I had answered, I thought about it quite a bit, because there are been some really powerful people, you know. But the one I really probably admire the most is Ronald Reagan. Not only was he instrumental in stopping the Cold War, but I think he gave a lot of people more hope in the United States and really got people interested in the United States again. So that's really where I'm at with that. So,
all right. In 30 seconds or less, why should people vote for you?
The biggest thing is I have always been transparent since day one. I have strived very hard to put Itasca County on the map. When I went out in my first year to Capitol Hill out in Washington, D.C., defended Itasca County there on a land exchange and put us on the map more nationally, which was a great experience, to every day talking with people and encouraging people to get involved in their local government. There's unfinished work, and I want to be able to be there to get that work done and make this county prosperous.
Well, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Primary election day is Tuesday, August 11th, and early voting is open now. Read more from these candidates and others in our election guide at kaxe.org and follow ICTV's coverage on local cable TV and watch ictv.org.
And that's it for this special episode of the Up North Report. For KAXE News, I'm Chelsea Perkins, telling the stories of Northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report on KAXE is sponsored by Woodland Bank, dedicated to serving local businesses, families, and nonprofits in our area since 1920. You can find more information online at woodland.bank.